Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right, last month was a month of love, and we started learning about love. God has a definition for everything, and if you're wise, you will stick to His definitions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, yesterday I was telling those who were present for the course how that any wise man should want to follow Jesus. Because in this world, one thing almost everybody is afraid of is death. Right? Almost everybody has this fear of death, except me and you, of course. But almost every other person is afraid of death. And then Jesus died, but resurrected, never to die again. So if the fear of man is the fear of death, and you found out there is someone who would never die again, I think you should stick with that person. Right? Yeah, that's the person that knows road. That's the person that is correct. And so if God has a definition for something, I think you should want to find out what God has defined and stick with it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, and so last week we talked about love, what God says love is. And I like it so much. Are you in this place? You know, when you see something, word of God, you can take it to the bank. You can depend on it. You can put your life there. Once you see something in the word of God, you can stick to it. You know it will never fail. There are different definitions of love. Someone says, if that guy loves you, he'll do this. If this lady loves you, she'll do that. If my parents really loved me, they would have sent me abroad. All those definitions of love, some might be correct, some might not be correct, but the word of God is righteousness. And so when you see in the word the definition of what love, you stick to that definition because that is the correct one. Praise the Lord. So I don't have to wonder what is love. God already told me. And so I can judge. Are you in this place? Think about it. I can really judge. I can look at someone's behavior and say, you know what? That person actually loves me. I don't have to guess. I don't say nobody knows. I don't know if this person actually loves me. I'm not sure. No. With the word of God, you have absolutes. You can listen to this person, see this person's action and say, you know what? This person loves you. You know what? This person doesn't love you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And love never fails. You know one of the contents in his description of love, are you in this place? Was the fact that love endures. There is the endurability in love. That's sustenance. That means if it is love, it will last. Do you understand? Feelings are inconsequential. So someone who says this guy beats me, but he actually loves me, you don't know what love is. Love would last. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. And then one of the things you find out when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because that's a book on love. Are you in this place? Is the fact that love is not a feeling. Think about it. He said love was many things. Did you notice? Love is always patient. Love is always kind. Love is this. Love is that. Love is that. He never said love is a feeling, because it is not. What feels like love to you might not be love. You have to judge with the word of God. And then we found out from the word of God that some things that some people think is love or describes love is actually selfishness. For example, he said in 1 Corinthians 13, let's go there, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Something I just wanted to see that is so mind-blowing. You have to spend some time there. 13. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One more time. Jesus is in this place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to show you something remarkable. Verse 3. It says, and though... Are you in that place? Okay, it's on the TV. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor... I'll say that again. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor... Have you tried that before? Have you tried that before? He didn't say some of my goods. Did you notice? He said, all my goods. So you take all your goods to feed the poor. I mean, that's a good man. Right? He must really love poor people. And that's why I love the word of God so much. Because nothing is hidden before the word. You can't deceive the word of God. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt. You know, there's people that give you stuff you wish they never did. Why? Because everybody would find out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you seen people like that? Or you know people like that, they didn't give you, but you know everybody, they have given something. If you make a mistake, you'll be reminded. But what they were giving you, it seemed like they really loved you, right? But then when you find out that all your neighbors know they gave you something, you begin to question the love. So giving is not good enough to describe love. That's what the word of God is saying. But if you love someone, you would give to the person. Do you understand? But giving in itself is not good enough. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and have not love, it profited me what? Nothing. So some things that people describe as love might just be what? Selfishness. I'm remembering Saul. King Saul. God had promised him that he would give him an everlasting kingdom. That means the kingdom will move from him to his children, to his children's children. Do you understand? And then all of a sudden, Saul did something bad, and then the kingdom moved to the house of Jesse. And Saul knew. And so Saul planned to kill David. Every single time Saul wanted to kill David. Why? Because David was a bad guy? No. But because he knew David was a threat. He had a son called Jonathan. Do you understand? And he wanted Jonathan to be king. But as long as David was still existing, Jonathan would not be king, and he knew it. And so every time he wanted to kill David. When you look at that, you think Saul must really love his son Jonathan. Not true. One day, Jonathan said, hey, what has David done to you? You know what? Saul threw his spear at Jonathan. And the Bible says Saul was so tall. If he would not have missed, Jonathan was just saved by God. That was the boy he was supposedly trying to kill David for. What does that tell you? It means that he really didn't love Jonathan. He just wanted his own name to continue. But it looked like love. Are you seeing that? It looked like love. It seemed like love. Someone could go and tell Jonathan, don't you know your father loves you? That's why he's doing all of this. No. Had nothing to do with Jonathan. He was doing it for himself. Because immediately Jonathan wanted to, or Jonathan made him angry, he didn't mind killing the guy. So some things some people think it's love, looks like love, is actually what? Selfishness. But then the word of God tells us what love is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you in this place? Yeah, he does. Let me show you something. Go to Romans 5. Romans 5. 5 is 5. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're not there, say wait for me. 5 is 5. It says, and hope maketh not what? Ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is what? Given unto us. What's in your heart? The love of God. That means, as a Christian, you have the love of God inside of you. So you can express love towards people the way God would express love towards them. Are you seeing that? That takes away any excuse that there's some things I cannot do. No. The love you have now, the love that is in your heart, is the love of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. It says that's one of the things the Spirit of God came to do. When he came to live inside of you, he shed abroad in your heart The love of God. Another version says, he spilled it in your heart. That means he poured the love of God to the overflowing in your heart. Now you have a job to do to let that love be expressed. Praise the Lord. That's your responsibility. But the love is already there. Do you understand? You can love like God loves. Get it? You can. You can. Your job is to let that love be expressed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you have the love of God. You can love like God. You can be patient like God. Do you understand? You can be kind like God. It is not limited to only him. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Let me just show you something quickly. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as their children. He didn't say follow your neighbor. He didn't say follow your governor or your president. He says follow God. There's something we used to do when we were small. Do as I do. Do you remember that game? Do as I do. So if the guy flies, you have to fly. Because you're supposed to do as he does. That's what he's saying here. He says follow God. Do like God is doing. Do you understand? He says, be ye therefore followers of God as their children. Are you a child of God? Yes, he says, follow him. Nobody tells you to do as I do with a cow. Because you're not a cow. Do you understand? Nobody says, do as I do with a dog. You're not a dog. And you cannot expect a cat to follow you fully. Do you understand? So you only follow those that look like you. Do you understand? And you look like them. Now it says, if you are a child of God, you have to follow him. Then verse 2. Go verse 2. It says, and walk in love. So the first example, or the first instruction he gives after telling you to follow God, is to walk in love. As Christ also had what? Loved us. So if you're following him, then love like him. That's the first thing. Love like him. And you can. Because it says the love of God has been what? Shed abroad in your hearts. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you can love like God. You can. You can. And God expects you to. He expects you to love just like him. You can. And you know the good news? The good news is your love can increase. It can abound. You don't say, me, this is how I am right now. No, you can be better. Do you understand? You can be a better lover. You can love better. Philippians 1 verse 9. Last week we learned love is a commitment. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. You don't have to feel like you like somebody. You can decide to love them. Do you understand? It's not a feeling. Philippians 1 verse 9. Let's look at it together. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all what? Judgment. It says your love may abound more and more. So every day you get better in showing love. Listen, he says love is always patient. That means every day you can get better in expressing patience. Is that possible? Yes. He says love is always kind. So every day you can become what? Kinder. You can find out better ways to speak kindly to people. Do you understand? No matter where you're at, your love can increase. There are some folks, they don't know how to talk. There are people like that. They don't know how to talk. I've ever heard someone say, that guy doesn't know how to talk. When they say something, people get angry. Not because they're being insulted, it's just the way they talk. Do you understand? Once they say something, the guy wants to say, please, can you move? And honestly, he's not trying to start a fight. Do you understand? He's not trying to fight anybody. He wants to tell you to move. Okay, move now. Move. He honestly doesn't want to start a fight. That is how he knows how to talk. Do you understand? Now, this guy can say, why talk to me like that? He said, how I talk to you? No, make I bend down now. Okay, move. You know what will happen soon? Fight. But in his heart, he might not even know how to explain that he didn't want to fight. But you know what? He can get better
Do you understand? He can get kinder. He can say, please, can you move? Do you understand? And then later he finds a better way of saying it. So the good thing about love is you can improve. You can improve. And this is so important. Verse 9 again, he says, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all what? Judgment. Verse 10. For a reason. He says that ye may approve things that are what? Excellent. Wow. So love affects your perceptions of things. Love would affect your sight, how you see things. This is God's method for excellence. Do you understand? He says love would affect it. He says that he may approve them. So if your love abounds more and more, you begin to approve excellent things. You begin to see things differently. The word approve there can also be rendered discern. Your sense of discernment improves. Are you in this place? He says that he may approve things that are excellent. That he may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Have you ever seen people say, Father, keep us till you come? Have you seen prayers like that? When I was in school, they did this drama in this university fellowship drama night. And the drama was so tense. Do you understand? It was so tense. Although I don't remember what that was about, but I know they took lights at the end of the drama and everywhere was tense. So I went out of the hall. I don't even know why I went out, but I went out. So I saw the guys that acted the film. They were praying. I think the film was about how some people lost their way. Do you understand? So the actors had to act that they lost their way, you know, at the end of the day. So they were praying. I remember one guy, he was sweating, he just fell down. Father, hold us. I thought, wow, I was so moved. And that's good, right? It's good. But then it tells you what you can do. And I like it. It tells you what you can do. It says, if your love abound more and more, that means you're always increasing and improving in your expression of love. He says, you would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. It is possible. Look at that. It is possible. He tells you what you can do. Now, how can you see this and pray, Father, keep me till you come? You're praying the wrong prayer. He already told you what you can do. He says, let your love abound what? More and more. And then he tells you what love is. Love is always what? Patient. That means every day I'll become more patient. Are you saying it? And boy, if you are more patient, you get yourself out of trouble fast, right? Yeah. I saw a video of a guy who, I think, the last man official stopped his car. Some of you have seen that video. I saw that video so many times. I never watched it, but I just eventually played it. I was shocked. And he was trying to be tough. So he was trying to maneuver and move. So in reversing, how many of you saw the video? Okay, if you did not see the video, just know there's a video. All right? In reversing, there was someone by the bridge. He reversed and hit the person, and the person fell over the bridge. He wasn't running anymore. He was the one who came down and gave them the key. Maybe if he had waited, I'm sure you'd have thought, why did I try to do that? I'm sure. All right, love is always patient, right? Now he's telling you that if you increase and improve in your expressions of love, look at this, you'll be without offense to the day of Christ. Love is always kind. Love is always kind. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you can decide, I want to be excellent. I don't want trouble in my life. How do you do that? It says improve. Your expression of love. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Improve. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's just read what love is again. First Corinthians 13. Are you in this place?
Yes,
say, I'm full of joy.
I'm full of joy.
All right. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4. Verse 4. It says, love, I'll prefer a simpler version. So it's telling me about charity.
Well, let me read from here, ISV. It says, love is always patient. It's not a suggestion. It's telling you what love is. Someone says, what is love? He tells you, love is always what? Patient. Where you see patience, you have met love. Doesn't stop there. It says, love is always patient. Love is always what? Kind. Love is never envious or arrogant with pride, nor is she considered. Okay, let's use HCSB. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not what? Envy. Now remember, he told you that if you improve in your expression of this, you'll be without offense to the day of Christ. Oh, that means I must always be patient. Are you in this place? You're leaving church with this mind. I'll always be patient. I'll always be kind. I will not envy. It says love is not boastful. It's not conceited. Verse 5. Does not act improperly. Is not selfish. Is not easily provoked. Does not keep a record of wrongs. I like this one. It says love does not keep a record of wrongs. Some people have to go and destroy their diary. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone says, I have the receipts. Destroy it. It says, love does not keep a record of what? Wrong. I know your brother offended you 2 years ago. Throw it away. It says, when you improve in this, you live your life without offense to the day of Christ. Throw it away. Your uncle locked you outside the house for 3 days. Throw it away. Are you in this place? If someone asks you, it never happened. It says, love does not keep a record of what? Wrongs. Verse 6. Finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in what? The truth. Some people lie for others. Have you seen people like that? Come on. Have you seen people like that? They lie for others. Ha! I mean, lying is bad. Do you understand? You not lie for someone else. How can you carry on top your head wahala for another person? No. Maybe these two are friends. All right? And this guy ate the bread. And I come and say, who ate the bread? And he says, we don't know. But he saw him while he was eating the bread. Now, when I've left, this guy will thank him. Do you understand? Say, guy, now you like me. Thank you. That's not love. That's not love. Someone that can lie for you will lie to you. Are you in this place? That's not love. Remember when in school, some people, they don't come to class, but they have friends that will write their name. Write their name. Guy, don't write my name, yes. No, I'm waiting one. Now you come first. If you do it, yeah, stop it. Are you in this place? You are thinking only about yourself. You are selfish. You are trying to deceive someone else. That's what you're doing. You and your friend, you came together to deceive the lecturer. Is that not criminal? You came together to deceive the lecturer. But because nobody has shown you like this, you think he's your friend. Now my party be that. Leave him. Now so we be friends for school, no? If I know they class, I'm going to write my name. If you know they class are great, now so we be friends. That is their definition of friendship. Criminal definition. It says, love finds no joy in what? Unrighteousness. No, the guy wants to steal. You are the one he's thinking about to join him. And you're not offended. You say we are friends. You should be offended. On the day they arrest him, and you have no idea why they arrested him, but everybody knows both of you are always together. They'll come and arrest you too. No, he says, love finds no joy in what? Unrighteousness. He's not happy about it. He says, but rejoices in the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's love. All right, verse 7. It says, love bears all. I like this verse the most. Because it shows you why love would never fail. Love bears all things.
Love tolerates. Do you understand? Instead of saying, if I didn't love you, would I be jealous? No, you say, if I didn't love you, I would have shown you. That's a better description of love. It says, love bears all things, believes all things. And it says, love believes the best in others. God is love. He believes the best about me. He does. It says, love hopes all things, endures all things. Endures all things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Endures. If you love, you'd endure. You'd endure. And then not endure in hopelessness. No. Endure with hope for the best. Do you understand? That's love. Because you can claim you're enjoying, but you've given up on the person. Right? You've given up. No. It says, endures all things, hopes all things, believes all things, bears all things. That's love. Verse 8. Love never ends. See, my love for you has ended. It's not love. Love never ends. See, that's how my love just quenched. It wasn't love. Love never what? Ends. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the
Lord.
Yeah. And you can express all of this in increasing measure. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, that's a nice recap of what we learned last week. Let's go into this week. There's something I want to show you. Go to Ephesians 3, verse 14. So, you know, if you see all of this, you see how you can bring love into a relationship. In a relationship where there was no love, you can actually put love there. It just takes being committed to being patient with that person, being kind with that person. You know, you have someone who said, I don't like the way you talk to me. I don't like the way. They've told you many times, I don't like how you talk. And you have refused to change. So you're the only one complaining you don't like how I talk. Every other person likes how I talk. If you love that person, you would change. Do you understand? That's what I wanted to say last week. Let me just say it now. You know, when it comes to relationships, any kind of relationship, you cannot change people. That is one thing you should have stamped in your brain. Are you hearing me? When it comes to relationship, stamp it, because it's stamped in my own brain. You can't change people. Never enter a relationship with a plan to change anybody. Especially when you plan to get married. That type of relationship. You can't change. That's why husbands, they are enduring. Being in a relationship, they are enduring. The lady slaps the guy. Say, I just like this, your touch of love. It's so comforting. Why? He's planning, let me marry you first. Okay. Then he said, no, the man I'm going to marry, he must be washing. He must wash the plates. He must know how to cook. Say, even Jesus cooks for his disciples. Who am I? The guy says, I will cook. I know everything. He's just waiting till they get married. Why? He's planning to change her. Do you know what? He will fail. That's the problem. He would fail. Someone that did not change outside marriage will not change inside. You know, marriage is not a born-again experience. The wedding ceremony, that day, is not the day of judgment. So by the time you get married, the person just changes. Hey! Then a new person comes the next day. Same person. In fact, now, no need to even try to change anymore. You're already stuck. Praise the Lord. Well, this is what I say. You can't change people. But you know what? You can change yourself. You can change yourself. And this is important. In any relationship, you can change yourself. With your siblings, you can change yourself. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Let's say when you pray at night, they must hear you at Aso Rock. Because you're very loud. You believe that is how the devils disappear. So you pray very loud. Do you understand? And you're staying with someone in the same house. And the person says, look, I can't sleep with you shouting. Someone shouting, I'm praying. Now you're expecting the person to change. Are you in this place? Expecting the person to change, to now begin, you tell the person, learn how to sleep with it, learn. No. You reduce your voice. Do you understand? Now, if that person also works on changing herself, so instead of saying, reduce your voice, she says, I'm going to learn how to sleep with this. While you, instead of saying, learn how to sleep with it, you reduce your voice. Do you know what? That's a part of peace. Are you seeing it? That's a part of peace. You can't change people. Only word of God can. You can't. But you can change yourself. In this place, you can become more tolerant. You can learn to tolerate people even more. You can become more kind. You can learn to ignore. Praise the Lord. I heard a funny story of a lady who always remembers dates. The date she was born, husband was born, husband mother was born, husband grandmother was born, her mother, her grandmother, always remembers dates. Anniversary, that means the first day they saw. Do you understand? Anniversary, the first day they talked. Different from the day they saw. Anniversary, the first day they went out. The day that she agreed. The day he proposed. 20 anniversaries that year. The guy doesn't remember anything. He doesn't remember his own birthday. So is it today? Okay. What do you think will happen when you get together? It is date. You find out why are you guys not talking? Because he did not remember the day she bought that brown shoe and gave it to him. So what do? Very simple. Number one, if she remembers dates and he doesn't remember dates, then she should live her life never expecting him to remember. Are you in this place? What's that? The path of peace. She should live her life never expecting him to what? Remember. While he lives his life always trying to remember. Do you understand? So he's working on himself and she's working on herself. So what day is it? Ah, it's today's Friday. I know you don't remember, but I've told you this is the day. She's not angry anymore. Do you understand? The day he remembers, he also works on himself. He said, I remember, oh, today is the day we first saw. Do you understand that? That is so important. That is so important. Yeah. So what about all my expectations? Those expectations you have for someone else, channel them towards your own direction. Praise the Lord. All right, Ephesians 3. We're ending now, but this is so important. Ephesians 3. 3 verse 14. 3 verse 14. You know, we are learning love is always patient, love is always kind. So you can, instead of deciding to you change and be patient and kind, you go and meet the other person. Look at it. Look at it. Love is, be patient. Be patient. I've tried. Be patient. No, you're not learning anything. So love is kind. I don't like how you talk. No, no. The word is for you. Do you understand? You work on yourself. Don't go and start terrorizing other people. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. So he's saying, this is why I'm praying. This is why I'm praying. He's praying. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I belong to that family. He says, there's a family in heaven. There's a family on earth. And we are named after the Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. So he says, in my family, we always fall sick. Which one? Which family? There's a family in heaven. Heaven, there's no sickness there. That's my family. Do you understand? That's my family. See, according to our gene, it's transferred from generation to generation in my family. Which one? Which one? I am the seed of Abraham. So are you disowning your earthly family? No. But I will choose to remain with this particular family. Praise the Lord. Verse 15 says, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. Verse 16. That he would grant you. So he's praying for them. He says that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He says he wants the inside of you to be strong. Do you understand? Outside you might look gentle, nice, meek, but inside you should be strong, spiritually strong. Are you in this place? That's more important. Not the guy who has muscle. One day he cross something, now he cannot move anymore. The leg is big with all his muscle. Say, what happened? Say, is that day I crossed that grass? Only grass. Can't move anymore. No, you might not have muscles, but inside be strong. Do you understand? Yeah. It says, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Greater is he that is in me. If there is a grass they put on the floor, that anybody steps over it, the person will stop walking. No, when you step over the grass, that effect is neutralized. Do you understand? It's neutralized. You have helped people. You're a strong person spiritually. Praise the Lord. Not every day. I don't know what I stepped on. I don't know what I stepped on. My leg is peppering me. No. If you stepped on something, nothing shall touch you. Verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? Love. It says be rooted and grounded in love, not madness. People say you mad. Man, I'm mad past you. Make I tell you now. And they are standing like they are not shaking. They are ready. They are rooted and grounded in Wahala. You see how they're like that? Bring the bottle. Bah, I will show you. When you're born again, that attitude, you throw it away. Do you understand? No, I said, you see, now you crisp-ass. Now you crisp. I will show you. Think about it. They are so upset. They are willing to win the award for who is the most crazy. No. It says, be rooted and grounded in what? Love. That means you're rooted in patience and grounded in kindness. The world thinks that's a fool. The guy who is too kind. No, that's the one that will never fail. It says, rooted and grounded in love. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. It says, may be able to comprehend with all sins. So he says, listen, he's praying for them. He's saying, I'm praying for you, that you be rooted and grounded in love. And it says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. This is not mathematics. But he's saying, I want you to understand what is breadth, length, depth, and height. Do you understand? Verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ. So he wants you to understand what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of Christ. Do you understand? That means the love of Christ has dimensions. We'll get there. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Ah, another issue. How can you know something that passes knowledge? If it passes knowledge, you should not know it. Right? It says to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Obviously, that means those two words are different. The word know there is having a revelation of the love of Christ that is beyond optical observation. Do you understand? Verse 19. He says, he wants you to know all of this for a reason, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. Let me read that last part again. He says that ye means you. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is it possible? No, is it possible? He's talking about you. He says there's something you can do that you will be filled with all the fullness of God. That means if they search God, everything that makes him God will be inside of you. It means when you show, God has shown up. He says there's something you can know. Praise the Lord. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. It says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hey. You know I like it so much? He linked it to love. Remember something.
Love has been demystified for us in 1 Corinthians 13. So if he says, if I understand the love of Christ, I'll be filled with all the fullness of God, then I should rush back to 1 Corinthians 13 and decide this is how I'm going to be. So that when I show up, God has shown up. Do you understand? Go back to verse 18. He says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth of the love of Christ. What does it mean by the breadth of the love of Christ? Listen to this. And don't sleep. What is the breadth of the love of Christ? It means how wide is that love? Who can that love cover? Do you understand? How wide is that love? The Bible says, for God so loved the world. That means his love is wide enough for any man. So if I can understand that and live my life accordingly, nobody is too far for me to love. That's the breadth of his love. How wide. Nobody is too bad for me to love. I don't choose. I don't do favoritism. Do you understand? My love is wide enough. He says, I'm late. How far can that love be stretched? So he says, they have tried my love. They have tried it. They have tried it. I'm not loving again. No. He's able to save to the uttermost. You cannot stretch that love to the breaking point. When I see this, I make up my mind. You know what? I'm going to be that way. He says, at depth. How deep, as he says, the love. He has loved us with an everlasting love. And the height. How lofty is that love? He says, when you understand this, you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to look at this very well. This is all you need. This is all you need. I thought you would have said praying and fasting. That's important. But without love, it is nothing. Oh, so you can work on how I relate with people. Do you understand? That is God. He didn't say God is power. God is love. Do you understand? If I can work on how patient I am with people, they can't stretch me to be impatient. They can't stretch me to be unkind. If I work on my kindness, that means I will be kind to everybody. Do you understand? At all times. If I can choose not to be rude, not to be jealous. He says, when I learn this thing and live in it, I will be filled with all the fullness of God. And you know what? Jesus was that way. He was that way. You can't read about Jesus or learn from Jesus and not just shake your head and think, thank God he's God. Thank God he's not someone else. He was that way. John sent his disciples, John the Baptist, are you in this place? John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the Christ or they should look for someone else. This was the same John that had baptized him. The one that had revealed him to Israel. Now he was questioning if Jesus was actually the Christ. Why? Because John had been in prison. And Jesus had not even visited him. Or even talked about his case. Do you understand? And he's supposed to be the Messiah, the Savior. One of the benefits of the salvation should be that he should save John from prison. Do you understand? But Jesus had not said anything. And so he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you there were people there. Do you understand? It was not secret. They didn't call Jesus secretly and say, see what John said. No, they came boldly and said, look, are you the Christ? Or should we look for another person? And at that point, Jesus healed the sick and said, go and tell John the things that you have seen. He wasn't angry. When they left, you know what? He didn't say, don't mind John, because he's in prison now. He thinks we are the same. No. When they left, he told people, he said, of all men born of women, none is greater than John. Good compliment. Can that be you? That someone threatens you in front of others, and when they leave, you still speak nicely about them? That can be you. Do you understand? That can be you. That was how Jesus was. They came and told him one day, in Mark 9 and Luke 9, that they have found one guy casting out devils in his name, and he was not following Jesus. The audacity. He wasn't going around with Jesus, but he was using Jesus' name to cast out devils, and the devils were going. One day, John and James saw him. They couldn't believe it. John was one who reported. He said they saw him. They went, say, Master, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him. That means the guy will say the name, will just say, hey, shut up. Is that your name? So you just take people's name and be using it up and down. Don't try it again. That's what he said. Jesus did not say, don't mind him. I've become so popular. No respect. No. You know what he told John? He said, leave him alone. He said, there's no one that will do a mighty work in my name that will speak evil of me. Can that be you? You find out someone is using your property, your creation, without your permission. Will you speak nicely about that person? Sue the life out of the guy. Get your lawyers. Are you in this place? Sue him into bankruptcy. He's not okay. So you will suffer and have name. Someone just sitting like that. What? Arrest him. That's not what Jesus did. He said, leave him alone. In John 3, he has started making more disciples than John the Baptist. And they went to tell John the Baptist. In John 4, when he heard about it, you know what he did? He said, who is John? John's time has passed, though. This is the time of Jesus. That's not what he said. He didn't say, John is a man, me, I'm God. Understand it. I should have more. That's not what he said. You know what he did? He left that place. Think about it. See how gentle he was. He left that place. Can that be you? You start selling a church card on your street, you're the only one. Two people now start. The business are reduced. We didn't leave the place. No, you go and warn them. Enemies of progress. He left the place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is one who said, if someone asks for your coat, give it to him. This is one who said it, and he did it. Left the place. You think that was nice? Wait for it. They came to arrest him. People that came to arrest him did not like him. And by passion, Peter had managed to cut somebody's ear. The guy's ear was on the ground. Why? You know they hear what? Cut the ear right there. What should Jesus have said? You see, Jesus said, I agree you should arrest me, oh, but this is part of payment for your sin. This is part of it. Oh, yeah, pick the ear now. Let's go. Is that what he did? No. He took the ear and he slapped it back. That guy must have thought, who is this? How can someone be so kind? I mean, I came to arrest you and you still heal me. Ah! And he didn't eye him after I did it. If not for God. No! And then on that cross, while they mocked him, he said, Father, forgive them. And he meant it. It's not the ones people do now that they don't mean. Say, Father, just forgive them. But in their mind, they're like, vengeance is of the Lord. It's not mine. No, he meant it. He was dying for them. And he was serious about it. Isn't that a man of love? No wonder he was filled with all the fullness of God. Now he says, if you can love the same way, you would be filled with all the fullness of God. No wonder when he showed up, God had shown up. He's a man of love. A man of love. And he says, this can be your inheritance. This is your inheritance. He wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. How? Thank God it is true love. Else, we will not hear word. Man is always filled with all the fullness of God and is wicked. And is not kind. And is not patient. What do you think will happen? The guy is so filled with God, you didn't bring his food on time. You turn to salt there.
But no, he says you must understand love first. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you know what? You can make up your mind. Listen, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to work on it. Do you understand? It's not enough to just say, but I'm okay now. I don't make people angry. I don't make people vex. No, I'm going to be kind. The way I talk will be kind. Do you understand? And then I'm going to be patient. That thing I always say, me, I don't have patience. No, I have it though. I have it. So say, I don't have patience. No, I have it. It's necessary. Do you understand? It's necessary. I'll wait. I'm not envious. You can work on yourself. And you know what? There are also benefits. He said, when you abound in love, you will be without offense to the day of Christ. Not just that. Even here on earth, you would approve excellent things. That means you make excellent decisions. Do you understand? So say, I don't know if I should give him the money. I'm not sure. No, when you're full of love, you make excellent decisions. Your perception will change. You just know, I don't want to do business with this guy. Oh, this is the person I want to do business with. It says love will change the way you perceive things. Say, I'm full of love. Say it again. Say, I'm full of love. Say, I'm working on myself. I'm working on myself with the word. And I'm a patient person. I'm a kind person. I'm not envious. I'm not rude. I rejoice in truth. That's me. Speaking all the tongues.